Hey, I'm Casey.
I'm Clint.
And I'm Nate.
And this is another episode of Conclave Radio. This is season 5.
Man, it's been a minute.
It's been 2 years.
It's been 2 years.
Welcome back, Casey.
Thank you. Welcome back, Pastor Clint.
Glad to be here.
Welcome back, Radio Nate.
Thank you. Yeah.
There's a lot of history in this show.
There is. The studio, it keeps evolving.
It's evolved about 4 different times. We are we're in seats this time.
We're in comfy chairs. We're not in like school chairs.
We're not against a very noisy table.
That's true.
Yeah.
This is the best rendition so far.
This is going to be the best season of Conclave Radio ever.
Okay, high standard.
That is my commitment. And which is actually one of the things we're going to talk about soon. This season's going to be different. This season's going to be new. We're trying out some different things, and we want you to be a part of it. We want y'all to be involved. Everyone who listens, hi-san to all of our
hi-san,
original
hi-san.
Listeners.
Man, look at you. Old school.
Callback stuff, bro. And yeah, it's just good to be back.
It is.
It's been a hot minute. It's nice to be back.
We keep talking. We kept talking about it over and over about, man, we need to start back Conclave Radio.
Yeah, we announced it and everything, and then nothing happened.
So here we are.
Here we are. Today, we are talking about God's will in our life. We're taking a slightly different approach than what we used to do. What we're going to do is each week, we're kind of going to hit a different topic about adulting. You know, that's what Conclave Radio originally was about, was we wanted to focus on young adults, their walk with the Lord. How do we walk in Christ as young adults? You know, there's a lot of specific things that people in their 20s or people who turn 18, almost 30, there's a lot of specific things that that generation deals with, especially in today's culture. So this is what this podcast is about.
And really not even just people 18
and,
to 22,
and
24.
Everyone.
You know, these are really topics that even older than that, you know, you can apply to your life.
Which is awesome, because that's kind of our cast right now. You know, we have one person who is...
Watch it. Choose your words wisely.
Who is on the upper scale of a young adult, who is married with children and has been working for a while.
Yes, true. These are all
and
facts.
And then you have me who is a young adult. I'm 23, but I am in the full working stage, working on my bachelor's. But I am full-time, trying to find a home. I'm in that season of life. But then you have Nate.
The young gun.
The young, who's in college, who's trying to figure some stuff out. And, well, we're all trying to figure things out. But I'm excited because we kind of represent 3 different areas of what it means to be a, quote, adult. Yeah. You know, what is an adult? When you turn 18 or when you move out or when you buy your own couch.
Mm.
Money. Everything's expensive when you're an adult. But yeah, today I want to focus on the idea of God's will in our life. What that means is most kids look forward to growing up and becoming adult. When I was 10, I wanted to be a paleontologist. And I thought it was going to be awesome being like an adult. When I turned 18, man, I made it. I can eat dessert first. I'll be a doctor. And I had all these expectations. So imagine this. And you can do this as well, unless you're driving and listening. Don't do this.
And my eyes are closed.
Close your eyes and imagine you're 10 years old. And your 10-year-old self is imagining what your life would be like as an adult. Where would you live? What's your job? Would you be married and have kids? And also, after thinking about that, does reality align with your expectations? Go.
Absolutely not. You know, I remember being in elementary school and we would have a piece of paper, and I forgot how it worked, but like you'd ask your friends, okay, give me 3 names and give me different things. And based on what your friends would tell you, you would eliminate certain things, and it would end up being the kind of house that you live in, the car that you drive, how many kids that you would have, you know, like all that. You know what I'm talking about?
I
can't MASH or something.
MASH. Is that what it was? Yeah, I know. I always had a van with 6 kids.
There it is. Yeah. I don't know where that came from.
I have 0 now.
Yeah. So, I'm not sure, you know, like, you know, I have an 11-year-old and, you know, and she talks about things when she gets older, you know, and so I don't think anybody's reality probably matches up quite like, you know, what you envisioned when you were 10. I'm not really sure what I was thinking about myself. I think at 10, I was still thinking maybe I could play in the NBA. You know, I think that's probably where I was. There's still a chance. I doubt it. You know, I just saw about a guy that he's like my age, and he's a freshman in college, and it was a real small college, but they have a football team, and he made the team. And he was like, this is nice. The greatest
that's
event.
That's really cool.
I know, right? And I was thinking, that is amazing. So, but no, I'm not sure how many people out there would say, yeah, you know, when I was 10 or 11, my reality is what I thought it was going to be, you know, 15 years later or 10 years later.
All those teachers telling me that I could be president.
Man.
I don't think I could.
Yeah, and I think it's really funny, like, if you could pull a kindergarten class on, like, what they're going to be, you'd have, like, 20% astronauts, you know?
Yes,
no,
lawyer,
like 15%
doctor.
15% lawyers, policemen,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Like big four or five.
Yeah. Vets. President. Vets were big.
Would paleontologists, I'm not sure how high that would be
I don't
on
know,
the top
man.
Four or five
I'm
list.
Just saying, when I was 10 or 11, my favorite movie, Jurassic Park.
Oh,
do you
okay.
know what T-Rex Mountain is? It's an older thing.
I don't.
No? It was like a big Hasbro toy set. And I had, because each dinosaur came sold separately, I had 20 dinosaurs.
Wow.
Yeah. I wanted to be a paleontologist. And what's funnier is Chase, my younger brother, who's 13 now, then he said he wanted to be a paleontologist. So I'm thinking it's genetic.
Your brother is a little version of you, though. So that's quite...
I'll take it as a compliment.
It is
a
compliment.
And I think he should take it as a compliment.
I think so. So we put so much pressure on people, you know, to fit into this mold, right, of you're going to graduate and then you're going to get the certain job, or you're going to go graduate high school and you're going to go to college and you're going to finish in 3 years. The rub there is sometimes that doesn't align with God's will. You know, right. It's man's will, and it's our expectations, because that's what our parents did and our grandparents did and aunts and uncles and friends. And while that might be good for them, that may not be what God has called you to be. You know, you may be thinking, I don't need to go to college, but maybe it's God's will for you to go to college. Or maybe it's God's will for you too, and you don't think that it is, and vice versa. And so I think there's just always this, that's why it's just so important to try to align your will with what God's will is. And the problem is there's so many outside influences and expectations, and you think, well, surely it's God's will for me to do it like this, and that sometimes is just not the case.
Yeah, well, and going back to, we have this pressure put on us, like, back in high school, I was always told about the 5-year plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or where do you see yourself in 5 years? Right. And that's a very common question, whether it's school or job interviews or anything like that. And although that is good to have a plan, you mm-hmm. should be looking ahead all the time. It almost creates this pressure as to what happens if this 5-year plan doesn't go the way I planned it to. You know, we have this sense of failure almost because we didn't do what we told people we were going to do. And as to college, like, this is personal experience, because I didn't graduate in 4 years. I ended up having to transfer to online school because it's more convenient, because I work full-time. And I had people who graduated in 3 years that I knew when I went to the University of Montevallo, and I don't understand those
golf
people.
Golf clap for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. They are making it. And, you know, I am too, but in my own way. It's just one of those expectations.
But we define success. We're like, wow, they're really successful because they did it in 3 years.
Yeah.
But there would be pressure on you, or where mm-hmm. you might would think, well, man, I'm not successful because I didn't do it in that way. But that's just not accurate.
No. And a lot of people, especially when it comes to college, look at it as a 4-year degree is what they call it,
uh-huh.
which is just not fit for everyone. It's not the same for everyone.
Right.
Unless you not work for a whole 4 year, like,
yeah, if you don't
do
work
a little
or anything.
Part-time thing, if you had like a good scholarship and just do that, it's hard to do that straight 4 years.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, we come into adulthood with all these expectations for life, almost as if they were like guarantees, but the unfortunate reality is that we won't meet all of those expectations, especially the ones we put on ourselves, because really, all they are just ideas that we kind of conjured into our heads. So what were some of those expectations that you may have had that you thought were guaranteed realities, but ended up not happening? And how do you think some of that has affected you as an adult today?
So for me, a lot of early school, like elementary, middle, and high school was pretty easy. I was at the top of my class in a lot of things. Not the very top, but towards the top. I kind of had this idea of like, well, because I make good grades and I work hard and everything, like I'll be able to go to college wherever I want to and like probably for free, and it'll just be easy, you know, because I'm smart. And like that's not the case. You know, scholarships are hard to get, even if you are in that position, and school's a lot of money.
School's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I had talked about college, but I had said before, I didn't expect to be a young adult pastor preaching on a regular basis. Like, that is just, if you told me when we were recording the last episode of Conclave Radio, that's where I would be, I would have said, I think you're absolutely insane, because that's just not where I see myself. But that's kind of how God, that is how God's will works. It doesn't always align with our plan. He puts us in place for a purpose, for his purpose for us in our lives in this world.
Yeah. What do you think about, I did some studying about the Apostle Paul, and he was wanting to go, and I guess this is in terms of when God's will does not line up with yours and you have to adjust. I guess that's where I'm going to go with this question. Mm-hmm. You know, and Paul, he wanted to go to Asia Minor and preach you know, the scriptures implies that he really felt like that was God's will for him. I mean, God, why would you not want me to go there and preach and to this place that doesn't know about you? Why would, you know, of course that would be God's will. But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit said no. And I think his response is so interesting, because, you know, when I feel like I'm hitting a wall, or God's not doing it in my timing, or, you know, I'm not getting the answer that I want, you know, sometimes we can act like, you know, a spoiled brat, you know, and slam the door or stomp up the stairs and slam the door.
Kind of pout.
Yeah, you pout and you turn into a recluse and fine, well, then I just won't do anything, right?
Yeah.
But the Bible says that Paul, you know, he listened to the Holy Spirit and he obeyed. He instantly obeyed and he changed directions. You know, even though it cost him his expectations and his plans and maybe the prep work and all the things, and you can apply that to our lives today, you know. Well, God, I've already done so much of the legwork. I've already done this research online, and this was really going to work, but I feel like you're saying no. And, you know, and so the Bible says that he instantly obeyed, and he changed directions, and instead he went to Macedonia, where he planted new churches that had a global impact, you know. And I think, man, how contrary is that sometimes when I feel like the Lord is telling me no about things?
Right.
I'm not sure 9 out of 10 times, definitely not 10 out of 10 times, do I think, okay, God, you know, that's great, you know. then let me just change directions. And sometimes it takes me a little longer to get back on board. So what do you think about that, like, of handling the no's of God's will for your life when you just think for sure this is what God wants you to do?
I think that's where trust and faith come in. And I'm not saying that we don't practice that. I think we have some pretty fair... I would like to think that I have some fair faith and trust in the Lord and in his plan, because I've seen it come into fruition so many times in my life, even though that wasn't my plan.
Well, you just think, like, for girls, okay? Well, surely it's going to be God's will for me to go to college and find a guy and get married at 22, 23... At worst case, 24. We'll be married for a year, and then we'll have kids, right?
Yeah.
And you just think, well, surely that's God's will, because that's what he did for all my friends. And how do you... I'm not a girl, so I can't relate to that really, but you know what I'm saying? Like, just practical things like that that you've always dreamed at. Well, surely it's God's will. Well, that's obvious. It's obviously not God's will all the time in that way, you know?
Well, and when we set up these expectations like that, or when we see other people succeed in areas that we don't, we start to feel this certain way about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a gateway into anxiety and self-image. Like, why isn't this happening to me? Am I doing something wrong? Or what's wrong with me?
Right.
You know, why am I suffering when this person has got it all figured out at 22, 23, and I am sitting here alone? But that's also how the enemy wants us. That's how he attacks. That's the perfect placement. But I think that is where community comes in. I think it's a matter of reminding yourself, staying in God's word, knowing that you are, I was going to say, perfect as you are, but also trust in the Lord. The Lord has a plan.
This guy's not a prophet by any means, but Elon Musk, I'm pretty sure Elon Musk said this, but he said that having expectations and stuff like that can, like, hurt your feelings the most, because whereas if you just don't expect anything, then, like, there's nothing to compare your outcome to. If you're thinking, well, by 24, you know, I'll have a, you know, job making 75,000,
right,
you know, everything. If you just don't have that, not saying you shouldn't have a plan, but if you're just not, like, fully committed to that plan, if it doesn't work out that way, then you have nothing to compare it to. And I think I just looked up this verse because I don't remember the verse, but where it says in Matthew 6, where he says, like, do the birds of the air worry about what they're gonna eat, mm-hmm, and stuff like that? Just kind of like living life to where, you know, being prepared, but trying not to compare yourself to this perfect standard, which I'm really bad at a lot, being honest with you. But
yeah, and it's okay to dream, you know, it's okay, yeah, to have that vision, because that's how we get places, because dreams do give us motivation and inspiration to do some great things. And rather than dreaming about what we want all the time, we should actually be utilizing some of these years, especially in our young adult lives, because let's face it, that's when we're going to be most active.
Yeah.
I, even though I'm hurting, I just recently went back to the gym. That way I can be more active and utilize my young years. But we should be utilizing them in order to train for godliness. We are always becoming our own future selves, no matter what age we're at.
Right. Well, and this is like one of those Captain Obvious statements, but in order to find God's will for your life, you actually have to speak to God about what he wants for your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's such a cliche thing. Well, I don't know what, you know, what God's will is for my life. And the first question that you should probably then ask that person is, well, how often are you speaking to God about what his will is for your life?
Yeah.
You know, okay, well, I haven't really done that. I've just talked about it theoretically. Okay, well, then we're still at step one. You know, like, that's, it's one thing to say, well, I want God's will for my life. Okay, super golf club. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But are you actually praying to God and seeking him and molding your heart to his, to attain what his will for your life is? Not this some big giant billboard that says, I want you to become a lawyer, but what is his will for you today? What's his will for you next week? What's his will for you? You know, he may not spell it out for you if you're not asking him and seeking and trying to mold yours to his. Well, you know, you're just talking about it. You know, it's kind of like, mm-hmm, working out or dieting or lots of things. If
we
you're
have
not
to put that effort
if,
in.
If you're not doing it, it's like getting baptized. If you get baptized but you're not already a Christian, then you just got wet.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that is going back to how we start feeling about ourselves in those failed expectations. Anytime we have a failed expectation and we decide to go to God, it's more about why we want to go to God asking for the answers as to why we're not where we think we should be. Instead, when it comes to one, we need to build our relationship with God so we can have that firm foundation. With that firm foundation and with that relationship, he will reveal his will. That's where the effort for us comes in. And I think once we do that, it will be easier for us to communicate with him and understand his will for our lives and his purpose, our purpose on this world for his kingdom. And I had one passage I wanted to read so we can kind of break it down a little bit. From 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'm reading in verse 6, starting in verse 6. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. And I'm going to stop there, but the first question to come from that is, so in here Paul paints a pretty clear picture of a good servant, and it says that the person is trained in the words of the faith and the good doctrine. What do you think that means, to be trained in the words of faith and good doctrine?
I mean, I think that just speaks to a foundation, mm-hmm. you know, and how important it is to have a foundation. Not everybody is afforded that. Not everybody has that opportunity. And so everyone's foundation might be a little different. But I think that's what it speaks to me on, is how important. And again, my stage is a little different, but how important it is not only for me to have a firm foundation, but the responsibility that I have of establishing that foundation for my children.
Yeah. You know? And our foundations may be different, but I think it comes from the same place.
Absolutely it does. But it may come in a different stage of life, whereas my foundation started really at birth. Some people's foundation may not have started until they're 19 or something, right. where they weren't really right. exposed to serving Christ, you know, all throughout. And so they're it may be different, but obviously the same source. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think historically speaking, like, to train yourself up in the faith, like Paul's probably talking about is like the Old Testament, because I mean the Old Testament is basically just the history of, you know, all the miraculous things God did for the Hebrew people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, training yourself up in faith, you should read the Old Testament, but also just kind of going back on events in your life, your own life, where like God's seen you through, holding on to those, both like in the Bible but in your own life. So that way when things come up, hard times or uncertain times, like even if you don't feel good about it, you know, you know that you're secure in your faith.
Right. Well, and we talked about having that relationship with the Lord so that we can communicate and we can understand God's will for us more. And I mean, first and foremost, that relationship begins in His Word, which is where that firm foundation comes from. It comes from the same God, the God who has the same Word. And that is the main source of our relationship with Him. And He even says, and that's what the words of the faith and the good doctrine is. It's the Word. It's God's Word. And that's how we build on that. That's how He speaks to us. That's his main way to speak to us.
Through His Word. Absolutely,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
So, absolutely, it is. It's like, I forgot who it was that said this to us recently. It was like, if you're waiting for God to, I think it was Pastor, you know, if you were waiting for God to speak to you in a loud voice, then read your Bible really loud.
Yeah,
really loudly, you know. And if you're wanting God to speak to you in a still small voice, then whisper it when you read it. But that's His Word. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a great point.
So in verse 7, it says, have nothing to do with the godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. What are the godless myths and old wives' tales? What do you think that looks like in today's culture?
I think it'd be easier to say what it's not. Just about everything, you know. I mean, even from celebrity drama to politics to everything, you know, it's important to keep up with things, but it's also important to have that balance and not let it divide you between other believers and reaching the lost.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're fed what Paul calls godless myths and wives tales every day. I mean, you go on social media for 5 minutes and you've probably got five different things that the world is trying to shove down your throat about this statement or this political side or pop culture, who's dating who's yeah. divorcing who nowadays. and it says that we need to train ourselves in godliness. But along with that, we need to guard ourselves from the lies of the culture. What does that look like to guard? What do you think that looks like to guard ourselves, guard our hearts in today's culture? Do you think that involves boundaries, or do you think that involves just trust and faith?
I think it's probably both of it. You know, both of those things. It's guarding our hearts. It's setting boundaries. It's allowing to say, hey, I don't. If I'm trying to attain, if I'm trying to be like Christ, which is the goal of every Christian, there's going to be some things that I need to stay away from, because I don't want those influences in my life. Now, that doesn't mean that I should just stay at home and do nothing, and not have interaction with the world. I'm supposed to be in it, but not of it. But yeah, I think it's a little combination of the two.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think discernment's important, mm-hmm. too, with that, because...
And discernment takes practice.
And, like, taking what's being shoved down your throat or shoved at you, or taking what you're hearing, and then, like, knowing, what to grab onto and what to not grab onto.
It's a challenge. It's definitely a challenge. In today's world, there's just so much information that is just thrown at us because we have the internet. And it's in the palm of our hand. We can look at anything that we want, any article we can read, any social media post, it's all there.
Yeah, you could look at the same issue from two different things and it could be two completely different, mm-hmm. Takeaways and ideas.
So if we look at verse 10, it says, "That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe." That is the end goal. God. We want to get to heaven. We want to get to eternal life. That's the point of all the hard work that we're doing here on earth. So my question is, have you ever, in an instance, whether it's a moment, whether it's a season, have you ever actually set your hope on something worldly before? And what do you think that the result of that was?
Well, anytime you put your heart and strength and mind into something worldly, you're going to probably find out that it's not as satisfying as what you thought it was going to. I mean, you think about the Christmas analogy. How many times have you just wished and wanted nothing but that one Christmas item? I mean, you're just thinking, man, if I could just have that one item, man, that is, my life will be set. And then you get it and you're like, oh, that's awesome. And then it's like, before you know it, it's so fleeting.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's how it is with a lot of things in our world today, is if I just had this, or just attained this, or get this status, and that is just so contrary to God's word. And you know that because it tells us that those things are fleeting. It's things that moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal.
Mm-hmm.
He spells it out. He says, "But I've come that you may have life." And part of that life is knowing his will. "But I've come that you have life and have it more abundantly." And so, I mean, I've fallen into that so many times and still do, right? Like I said, I went down Bunny Trail. I do it all the time, looking at cars online. You start at 11 p.m. and then it's 1 a.m. and you've put in requests at all these different dealerships. And it's because, man, you're like, oh, man, if I could just have that car, right, or that item, I'm going down Facebook Marketplace. And you're just going. And so, yeah, I fall victim to that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I think jobs and titles and everything else can kind of do that too, because it's like, oh, if I can, just like with the gift, if I can just get that, I'll be safe.
That's right.
And I'll be good. When in reality, even though there are things that seem safe, mm-hmm. certain environments and stuff, when are we ever really,
mm-hmm.
safe other than our hope?
Yeah, I am such a materialistic person, and I really try not to be. But nowadays, I've been thinking after years of resisting, I'm thinking, man, I think I really want an Apple Watch.
Yeah, sure.
I haven't gotten one for a long time because I keep thinking they're so unnecessary. I don't need this. My phone has everything I need. But we're on the, what are they on the Series 8 now? Something like that.
Me and Nate wouldn't know, would we, Nate?
No. Oh, you don't have them either.
We don't care about those worldly things, do we, Nate?
Oh, this is something I have to remind myself of, because I think that once I get that, things will be a little
your
better.
Your life won't be any better.
No, it won't.
It may be a little more convenient, maybe.
I just don't have to lift a phone. I can just raise my raise my wrist, but at the same time, I shouldn't be putting my hope in an Apple Watch. That's not what's going to make my life easier. No. That's not what's going to give me more. It may give me more accountability in some things, but I shouldn't be putting all of my hope in that. We need to be putting our hope in Christ. Yeah. Because along with that firm foundation that we get from His Word, He is the one that will get us through the hard times, through whatever expectations that we're battling with, for whatever and whatever isn't going our way. So this is kind of how I want to end in this episode, was a little bit of encouragement. We had talked about, we ended in verse 10, but down in verse 12 it says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." Which is awesome, because that shows that you don't have to be old to be wise, or you don't have to be older to be the smartest person in the room. But what it does, what it means by that is, we can set the example. We can set the example for others in the firm foundation and relationship with our Heavenly Father. And through that, it helps us follow the Lord's will. When we follow the Lord's will willingly, that is a good example for others.
Well, I think my encouragement would be, we know what a lot of God's will is because, like you said, it's in His Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my encouragement would be, be in God's will today. You don't have to stress. In fact, He tells us not to. I would encourage you not to stress about the 5-year plan. Like, you work on today, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you be in God's will today. You know how to be in God's will today. Like, that you don't have to wait for like a smoke signal to figure out what God's will is for you today.
Right.
I know what His will is for me today, right? It's for me to work hard. It's to show myself approved. It's to be a good husband and father and co-worker and all those things, right? And meet the things that I've made commitments to and all those things. So I know what to do for God's will is to seek Him and pray and to be closer to Him and do those things that He's entrusted me with. Check, right? And then you know what I'm going to do tomorrow? I need to do the same thing tomorrow. May not get it perfect. And so I think there's just, quit trying to figure out and stress about God's will for you for 5 years. Let's try to hit God's will today. And little by little, what that'll happen is that'll build on each other, right? So, man, don't stress it. Don't stress it.
And I think once we do that, when we take it one day at a time, the Lord's vision will be revealed to us. His big picture plan will be revealed to us over time as we follow His will. We can take it one day at a time.
My sheep hear my voice.
Right.
You know, so yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think, although we may not see it now, we can look back and think, wow, this makes more sense. Just like how I did when I was media director to now young adult pastor. But Christ calls us to train in godliness and to abide in Christ. And I know sometimes in today's culture, they try to feed us irreverent things. But we can increase our intensity of training in godliness so we can bear fruit for others and be examples. And through this, we can live in God's will. So,
Casey, sometimes you talk about, you have like this little strategy, right? Why don't you end our time today with that? It's like a time, a place, it's something like that, right?
Yeah. So the way I was told is to find a time, a text, and a place. You know, a lot of us want to just open the Bible and point our fingers to a text. Yeah, and just see what happens. But a lot of times, it doesn't work out the way we want it to. That's our expectation not being met. But the challenge is that you need to find a time, a place, and a text this week. You need to know what you're reading, where you're reading it, and what time you're going to be reading it during the week. That will help us. That will help you stay rooted in God's Word. And the more you're rooted in God's Word, the stronger that relationship gets, and the stronger that relationship gets, the more the Lord's will be revealed to you.
The better you will hear His voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you read it loud, the louder His voice will be, as Pastor Jason says. So, but that's all we have time for today. I'm looking forward to next week. We're going to get into more specific details, the specific topics like commitment.
Ooh.
But I'm Casey.
I'm Clint.
And I'm Nate.
And we'll see you on the next episode of Conclave Radio.